one of the things that motivated me and really both of us is we came to the realization that we weren't really living our lives on purpose. We were just drifting with the winds of TV advertising and, oh, here's the new thing, let's buy that, and the shiny new car, or whatever it might be. And we found that those things were not helping us become happier. In fact, the more things you buy, especially on credit, the more stressed you are working to pay for all those things, worried about losing your job, and just generally being unhappy. And so instead of living our lives on autopilot, we said, we want to live our lives on purpose. We want to, when we make purchases, we do them thoughtfully. We don't have to become the world's greatest misers. We just have to choose wisely where we spend our money. And that enabled us to get off of that treadmill of the stressful job.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Ann will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, your host for today's show. And today, our guest decided that he wanted a different life in retirement to the one that he was currently living. So together with his wife, they went on a bit of a soul-searching journey and decided to find somewhere that they could live a life on purpose. And that is possible in retirement. You can practically live anywhere in the world, and you have the time that so many of us don't get throughout our working life when we have been busy raising our families. So here is one inspirational story that if you make wise choices, you can put yourself in a position where you do have a choice and worked out what was more important in their life. And in the future life, they wanted to lead. Today, my guest is Norm Pyle, and Norm is a 58-year-old high-tech engineer manager who left Rat Race in order to live a slower life in the Caribbean with his wife, Deb. How are you, Norm?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm in the tropics. I live in North Queensland, so we've probably got similar climates. Now that you've retired and moved to the Caribbean, it sounds exotic.
Well, yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways it is. We spent a long time in cold climates, so this was just such a nice change for us.
So, Norm, we start off by finding out a little bit of background about you and your wife.
Sure.
So where have you come from?
Okay, well, I was born in the USA. I grew up in Florida, so that was a warm climate. I went to school there. After university, I moved to Colorado. So I moved to cold country. And I was there 30 years, married my beautiful wife, Deb, raised a family. We have two grown sons. They're in their 20s now. So we got to that point and we decided, you know, let's do something a little different. That's how we ended up here.
So how long had you wanted to retire before you actually made the move to retire?
you know, it was not too many years back. It was probably around 2012 when we really started to talk about it seriously. So what's that? 6 years ago. In 2013, we met with a financial advisor, and we didn't actually hire him, but he did give us some good insights on how to approach retirement. And that really started with better communication between Deb and I. So at that point, it was really all about, what do we want out of retirement? You know, what's going to make us happy for a long period of time? And, you know, that was the beginning.
So that was a good move, talking to a financial advisor. Once you made the decision that you wanted to retire early, what did you do differently to speed up the process?
Yeah, so that was a lot of research. I needed to educate myself. I did a lot of online research, and really it always comes down to solving the question of how much is enough before you can really, you know, jump out of the airplane and pull the ripcord. So I had to do a lot of learning about finance, investing. I needed to understand some of the tools that are out there, retirement calculators and different types of those, and then build a long-term plan. So that was all very foundational. Once we started to get this ball rolling, we decided we were going to cut our expenses. We realized all those things we were buying weren't buying us happiness. The TV cable bill wasn't buying us happiness. Eating out at restaurants wasn't buying us happiness. So we cut our expenses quite a bit. We paid off our house in 2013. And at that point, we were 100% debt-free. And we were saving about 50% of our income at that point. It started this sort of snowball avalanche effect. Little things started moving in our favor. And once we got the house paid off, we were putting away a lot of money to help us kind of speed up this process. By 2017, early in 2017, I retired from my job and we sold everything. We sold the house, the cars, the TVs, everything else. And we whittled our lives down to two large duffels, two medium duffels, two backpacks, and two little doggies each. Or two little doggies total. It was one each.
You have to be congratulated on the process that you went through, but it's something that a lot of retirees or baby boomers don't do until it's sort of really, really late. But you gave yourself the time to change your plan so that you could actually create the life that you had dreamed of. So where are you now?
So now I'm in Vieques, Puerto Rico. This is a small island off of the east coast of Puerto Rico. That's about 20 miles long and about 4 miles wide or so. So it's a tiny little island. And that's where we are. It's a wonderful place.
Okay. So there are a lot of beaches in the world. So this one must be pretty special.
Yeah, so this move was not all about the beaches, but I admit it was a lot about the beaches. The beaches here are very natural. They're all natural. There's no resorts. There's not people raking and grooming and lining up beach chairs and all of that with the umbrella drinks and all those things. They're very natural. So every time we go to a beach, ones that we've been to before, something's changed and something's different, and we like that. You know, we don't always know what to expect. It's a very casual island, sort of a very laid back vibe here in the Vieques. That gives us, I think it plays into the cost of living because there's not a bunch of fancy things here. Naturally, the general cost of living is going to be lower. So that was another you know, big draw to this place. Puerto Rico being a U.S. territory means no immigration concerns. We could stay as long as we liked. We actually, just before we were planning to come here, the big Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, hit Vieques and the main island of Puerto Rico, and made it impossible for us to come here for a few months. So we ended up in Honduras. And while we were there, we had to deal with all those immigration issues. We could only stay 3 months, and we had planned to have a 30-day extension, which they offered. And then they had some political strife, rioting and things, and they canceled those. And so we had to do what's called a border run. We had to go to another country and for a few days and then come back. And anyway, there's certainly a big hassle factor there when you're, you know, outside of your home country. So I'm happy that they can't kick us out here. And yeah, so as a U.S. citizen, we can stay as long as we like. They also use the U.S. dollar, which is convenient. Don't have to worry about exchange rates and that sort of thing. Probably one of the biggest advantages for us was that Puerto Rico doesn't enforce the U.S. Affordable Care Act, which is the requirement to purchase health insurance, expensive health insurance, to be fair. Here, we were able to buy an international health insurance plan. It doesn't cover us in the U.S. and Canada, except for emergencies. But it's one-third the cost. So that's saving us almost $10,000 a year.
Wow.
And it really enabled us to retire when we did.
And the medical facilities there are reasonable?
The medical facilities here in Vieques are, honestly, they're not reasonable. If we need real medical care, we have to get on a plane or ferry boat over to the mainland, Puerto Rico. And if there's an emergency, they can come and take care of you. But the first thing they're going to want to do is get us on a plane or a helicopter over to San Juan or someplace on the mainland. So that was one of the trade-offs.
Yeah. But that would still be all right going to the mainland.
Yeah.
You'd be looked after there.
Yep.
So you've talked about the cost of living, and obviously you like the lifestyle there. So what will you typically do over there now that you've retired?
Well, right. And so the cost of living and the lifestyle go pretty well hand in hand. I sort of mentioned that. Because it's a laid-back lifestyle, the cost of living stays down. But your question is, what do we do typically? Yeah, so we spend a lot of time on the beach. We have paddle boards and kayaks, so we really enjoy those. We swim, we snorkel, we fish. Sometimes we just stand in the water, sit in our beach chairs, and chat with our friends. So it's very much, at least our life here is very much centered around the ocean and the beaches.
Sounds wonderful. Are there many other retirees that have moved there?
Yes. So there's a reasonably sized group of people we call statesiders. We're not truly expats because it's still our country. We're somewhere in between. So statesiders is sort of the term that's used. And there's quite a nice little community of stateside people here. Most of them are from the East Coast or maybe just over to the Midwest part of the States. There are some Canadians, but it's mostly vast majority of people are from the eastern half of the United States, of the transplants.
Transplants, you're coming up with some terms I haven't heard before.
Okay.
The transplant. So if you wanted to work, could you, if you're part of America?
Yeah, I can. Although jobs are scarce here, most of the jobs are built around service industries, around tourism. in spite of the fact that we don't have the big resorts. We have lots and lots of small hotels. We have restaurants. We have all the, you know, the businesses that offer activities like kayaking in our Bio Bay, which is a bay that at night it lights up when there's any movement in the water due to these microscopic organisms called dinoflagellates. Anyway, they have tours of this place. They have, you know, jet skis and all of those things. So there's a lot of tourism business, but there's not much else really. There's a General Electric plant on the island that I think employs somewhere around 35 people or something. So it's a pretty small operation and not a lot of other employment.
Mm. Oh, are you hanging out with the locals as well as the fellow transplants?
Yes, we are. And that's been very rewarding. The local people have been so friendly that I've been, frankly, a little bit surprised. There is one issue with the statesiders in that just by coming here, bringing money, we may be driving up prices for things like real estate. And in the States, they call that gentrification, where sometimes locals can get priced out of their own, you know, housing market, for example. There can be a little bit of an issue, a little bit of friction between locals and the transplant, the stateside community. But honestly, in my daily interactions, locals are just been amazingly friendly. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to our second birthday party, invited to a birthday party of all local people. So, you know, we feel pretty happy and blessed to have them pull us in like that.
That's wonderful. Are the transplants statesiders, are they typically buying there? You mentioned real estate, or is it easy to rent over there?
Well, a lot of people do come and buy. We're renting, and it's reasonably easy to rent, but the only real issue that we have, and I don't know if it's a big issue, is that almost everything you rent is also for sale. And we've been in this place now since January. Our lease says that if they sell it and the new owners don't want to keep renters, then we'll have 2 months to find something else. And we know we can do that. So it's not really a big issue for us. So both, I guess the answer is the statesiders buy houses, but there's also, you know, there's also renting, plenty of that.
Yep. So it was a big decision to sell everything and leave the country. Did your family and friends think you were mad?
I think they did. And I think they still think we're just a bit crazy. They love our stories of our adventures, but I think they love them more because they're enjoying them from the safety and comfort of their own homes and, and behind their computer screens, you know.
Yay.
But, you know, we were just looking at the weather report today from where we left in Colorado. And this morning, the wind chill there was 1 degree Fahrenheit, minus 17 C. And we're sitting here, and I think it was 80 degrees at here that time, 27 C. So who's mad?
Yeah.
We feel pretty fortunate.
And communication is good over there. We're talking via the internet, but you don't.
Right.
It's easy to stay in touch. And I noticed you're on
Quora, yes. So Quora's interesting. What I like about Quora, I've been on there for about 3 years, and I like the stories that people tell. And I think everybody loves a good story. So it's civil, it's interesting, and the variety of topics is endless. Occasionally, I'll see a question that looks like, not really high school, probably a university student's homework assignment. And so I'm not really a big fan of that. Or maybe it's sometimes you'll see a question that could have just been Googled, you know, a simple search. But Quora's really good for learning from other people's experiences. That's my biggest takeaway with it.
It's been great chatting with you. Thanks very much for sharing some of your life over there and that momentous decision that you made to move to an island. But I can understand why, because it's we all seem as though we prefer living in a warmer climate as we get older.
Yeah, we certainly prefer it. We were 30 years in cold country, as I say, and that was enough. By the last couple of years, we said we have to go somewhere warmer. We enjoyed it, actually, for many, many, many years. All the snow skiing and sledding and, you know, I didn't even mind shoveling snow. But at some point, it was just enough. 3 decades anywhere is long enough. So, yeah, so we went through the warmth.
Are you getting lots of visitors?
We're getting a few and more coming in the next few months. So, yeah, we're starting to get some friends and family showing up.
It sounds wonderful. It sounds like you've found an idyllic place to retire and not that difficult seeing it's part of the US. If anyone wanted to follow you or get to know more about you, where would they go?
Well, the easiest, probably most information filled is my blog, my website, which is kneedeepinit.com.
Knee deep.
And yes, knee deep in it.
Okay.
It's, of course, all one word. We lay it all out there. Your readers, your listeners can sign up for a newsletter, which is basically just a notification email that we put a new post out. That's got the most information. I'm also on LinkedIn. I don't know if you use LinkedIn, but it's more of a networking site for business.
So
I'm there. That's pretty much it.
Well, you sound pretty laid back and you sound like you really created a wonderful retirement there for you. And congratulations on that early work you did to knuckle down and save that extra money in a hurry. And it just goes to show that we can do it if we put our mind to it.
That's right. And, you know, and thank you for that. I think back on those sorts of things often. And one of the things that motivated me and really both of us is we came to the realization that we weren't really living our lives on purpose. We were just drifting with the winds of TV advertising and, oh, here's the new thing, let's buy that, and a shiny new car, or whatever it might be. We found that those things were not helping us become happier. In fact, the more things you buy, especially on credit, the more stressed you are working to pay for all those things, worried about losing your job and just generally being unhappy. And so instead of living our lives on autopilot, we said, we want to live our lives on purpose. We want to, when we make purchases, we do them thoughtfully. We don't have to become the world's greatest misers. We just have to choose wisely where we spend our money. And that enabled us to get off of that treadmill of the stressful job. And ultimately, we ended up here.
Well, like I said, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful achievement. You've created your dream lifestyle. And I really love what you said about living a life on purpose and off purpose.
It makes all the difference. It really does.
Thanks very much. It's been really interesting chatting to you today, and congratulations, and sounds like a wonderful place to come and visit one day.
Well, I hope you will, and thank you for the opportunity. I really enjoyed talking to you.
All right. Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.